Genesis chapter 41, and we'll read verses 41 to 43. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried out before him, "Bow the knee." So he set him over all the land of Egypt. Well, Joseph's day has come. Joseph's dream has come true. Joseph's integrity has been rewarded in this life. You wouldn't have believed it a few days ago, would you? A few days ago, Joseph was in the dungeon biting his nails, wondering why the butler had forgotten all about him. Well, here's the test. As Joseph receives the ring, as he puts on the royal robe, as it were, as he's given the signet ring and the chain around his neck, as he's shown to the chariot, how does he react? Has he got the grace of God? Joseph has learned a lot in the 13 years he's been in Egypt. The pit and the prison has done its work. The pit and the prison, however uncomfortable for Joseph, has taught Joseph a lesson. He has indeed grown so much in grace. And one of the lessons that Joseph surely must have learned was this. Put your trust in God, not man. I trusted the butler, but see how he let me down. Put your trust in God. That surely must be what he preaches on this great day. Let God be God. Let God do it His way. Let God decide. Didn't we discover that recently somewhere? Let God decide in your life, whatever situation you're in, let God be God. And let God decide four things. Let God decide if, and this was so irrelevant for Joseph, let God decide if Joseph has to be set free. There he is in the prison, biting his nails. What's happened, butler? Why am I still here? After all I said to him. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you remember what they said? When the king of Persia said they'll be thrown in the furnace if they don't bow down and worship his idol. Do you remember? I never forget what they said. They said, "Our God is able to deliver us, but if not." If not what? What would you say? You say, "Well, if God's not going to deliver me, I'm not going to carry on serving him." That's not what they said. They said, "If not, our God is able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down." Let God be God. Let God decide if. And not only let God decide if, but let God decide who. See, there he is in prison, and he doesn't know who. You see, the butler got freed. But the baker was hanged. And there's Joseph biting his nails. What for me now? If God's going to let some out, am I going to be among them? Again, we've noted recently, haven't we, of other people in prison. There was James, captured and put in prison in the New Testament days, early days, and he's beheaded. And there's Peter in the same prison. And Herod, King Herod's about to do exactly the same to Peter because he saw the great success it was in beheading James. So he said, I'm going to do the same to Peter. But that night, God comes and sets Peter free. And Peter's out. Can you imagine what James's widow must have felt like? She could have said, what's wrong with my husband? He was a better man than Peter. My husband, James, didn't deny his Savior like Peter denied him. Yet Peter set free. God, why have you done this to me? But oh, she's... Well, it was not recorded what she said. But she could have said that. But that's not the language of grace. That's not the language of let God be God. Let God decide if. Let God decide who, if any, are to be set free. And let God decide when. Joseph was 2 years before he was set free. But it could have been 20. Let God decide. That's what we should say. If we're in trouble and we're praying to God to deliver us, let's worship God and let God decide. When? Let him decide if. Let him decide who. Let him decide when. You see, we forget, don't we? One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So 20 years is not a long time praying. I remember when I was seeking the Lord, I remember an elder, actually from Stornoway he was, and he said, you know, I've been praying for 20 years for the conversion of this person, and today I think that person is further away than ever. And I remember saying to myself, well, I don't think I could cope that long. Well, I'm now of the age when I think 20 years is not a long time. Let God decide if. Let God decide who. Let God decide when. And listen, let God decide how. You see, Joseph had his agenda. The butler. He'll go to tell him, and I'll be out by the end of September. Let God decide how. Because the Bible tells us God's ways are not our ways. And listen, his ways are better. His ways are greater. His ways are higher. Have you got that faith to trust God? Let God be God. Let God do it his way. Do you ever feel for Joshua? And the commander of the forces, the charge of the military army, he's going to take Jericho. And oh, he's proud of how they've dealt with Og and Bashan, these kings of the Amorites. And now he's longing for his army to take Jericho. And how does he do it? God says, you just go around singing. But listen, my army are all equipped. Go around singing. Blowing the trumpet horn. Let God decide how the walls of Jericho will fall. And whatever predicament you are in tonight. Let God be God. And let God decide if, who, when, and how. And that way you too may get a ring and a robe. And a chain and a chariot, just as Joseph got by letting God be God when he was in the prison and in the dungeon. Well, We were asking the question, has Joseph grown in grace as he's given all these things? Yes, he has. Let's just look at it. Does he say, first of all, does he, when he receives these things, does he stick out his chest and boast and say, I knew I was right all the time. I knew it would work out this way. I told you it was all from God. Do you see that attitude? I can't see it from the life of me. As Joseph gets the ring and the robe and the chain and the chariot, tell me, does he seem to have any grudges in his heart, in his spirit? Does he say, where will I get that woman that put me in the prison the first time by lying? Where will I get my hands on Potiphar's wife now that I've got power? Does he say that? Can't see it anywhere. Does he say, where will I get my brothers for putting me in the pit? I don't see it. There's none of that. Joseph has the right spirit. Joseph's got the right attitude. And neither does he go, you know, to the other extreme. And when he's given this honour and place, he doesn't decline the honour and say, oh, I'm not worthy. And you know, it's false humility that rejects honour and love. True humility accepts with grace, not with pride. That false humility rejects. True humility accepts and gives God the credit, as we'll come to notice. False humility keeps on thinking of itself. False humility keeps on thinking of its feelings. True humility thinks of truth and thinks of duty and thinks of responsibility. That's true humility. True humility is giving God the credit for everything. It's not denying that there is honour and blessing. It's giving God the credit for it. Now, we're looking at Joseph growing in grace. We read there in verses 51 and 52, in fact, verse 50 to 52, that what something that took place before the years of famine. Joseph, there was born two sons to him. And I want to look at his grace as he names his children. And you must be tired of me saying, in the Bible, names are very important. Very important. Look at it. Verse 51. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Why? Well, let's read it. For, or because, God has made me forget all my toil. Interesting, isn't it? Joseph doesn't say, you know, all my toil. Ah, but I picked myself up, you know. I stuck it out and I just got on with life. He doesn't say, well, you know, I went through thick and thin and now I'm only getting what I deserve. This is him. What does he say? God has made me forget all my toil. Oh, you can't say, but Joseph had his troubles. Oh, yes, he had. How did he get over them? Oh, he had one of these kind of personalities, you know. No. God made me forget all my toil. Tell me, do you want to forget all your troubles? Do you? Let's learn lessons from this. In fact, is this not one of the reasons we're looking at the life of Joseph? To get encouragement. To discover what is it that God uses to make normal people great. You want to forget your troubles? Do you know what the key is? Start praising God. That's Joseph. He named his first son in the midst of his toil, in the midst of his trouble, Manasseh. God, he's full of God. You know, Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12 teaches a lot. Listen to it. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to thee and not be silent. Now I've forgotten where it is, but there is a psalm where the indication and the implication is, because we did not praise God in prosperity, God brought trouble on us, so that we cry to God, and then he delivers us out of trouble, and then we praise him. But the whole point is this: you should have praised him before you got into trouble. And if you were praising him before you got into trouble, you wouldn't have got into the trouble. Now I ask you, consider Psalm 30, verses 11 and 12. These things happen that my soul may sing praise to thee. There's a verse in the Bible, you know, and it says, in the day of adversity, consider. In the day of prosperity, what? Praise God. Praise God. And if you don't praise God when he blesses you and prospers you, be careful that he does not take it away, so that you will have to cry to him, and then he'll deliver you, and then you'll praise him. He called his first son Manasseh. And then we read in verse 52, and the name of the second he called Ephraim. Why? Because God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. That's interesting, isn't it? You can be fruitful in affliction. Interesting, isn't it? That's always the excuse we make. Oh, this turned against me. That turned against me. You can't blame me. All these things are against me. Wait a minute. If God sent them, he sent them for a purpose. And God tells us, in affliction, you can be fruitful. And here is Joseph praising God for God caused me to be fruitful in my affliction. Do you want to be fruitful in trouble? Do you want to be fruitful in trouble? Do you want to bring forth fruit when things go all wrong in your life? Well, learn from Joseph. Don't be bitter. Don't be resentful. Do you remember, it's a sad account of one of David's wives, Michal. Do you remember, she looked through a window and saw him dancing. And she despised him in her heart. Do you remember what God did? He made her barren and unfruitful. Let's learn lessons from the Bible. Put away malice. Put away bitterness. Put away the spirit of revenge. Put away the spirit of despising God's people, however they may go wrong. God's people go wrong. Don't despise them, or you might become unfruitful. And you know, God tells us, God gives us a wee promise, you know, those of us who are getting older. He tells us we can be fruitful when we get older. In our old age, we can be fruitful. Listen, Psalm 92, verse 14. And in old age, when others fade, they fruit still forth shall bring. They shall be fat and full of sap, and I be flourishing in old age. Now the interesting thing is this, and you'll find it in some of the newer versions. That word translated flourishing in the Psalms and in the AV could be translated vital, lively, sharp. You know, someone gets old and you say, ah, he's losing the place, you know. He's getting a bit dull. And no more so than with preachers. But here's something we preachers and those of us who are getting older should hang on to. God has promised us that we can be sharp, that we can be full of vitality and life in old age, and we can be fruitful. Let's hold on to and let's plead with God to fulfill the promises he sets before us in his word. Now, as we indicated already, Joseph is still being tested as he gets the robe and the ring and the chariot and the chain. Can he now bless others as God has blessed him? Can he bless the family that put him in the pit? Can he forgive Potiphar's wife? Can he forgive the butler who for the two longest years in his life forgot what he promised Joseph in the prison? Can he forgive? Can he bless? That's a test. If God forgives us, well, you remember the Lord's Prayer. We are taught by the Son of God to pray that we would be forgiven according as we forgive others. Now just think of what we're praying. Tell me, how forgiven are you? If you're forgiven as much as you forgive others, how forgiven are you in that case? That's what the Saviour taught us to pray. As we forgive others, so forgive us. Well, Joseph now, we want to look at him as an illustration of Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the Bible are we told that Joseph is a type of Christ, but it's a blind man who cannot see Joseph illustrating Christ. I mean a spiritually blind man. Through Joseph's word, the people were warned of danger to come and were advised how to prepare for it. And isn't that like Jesus Christ? Joseph told them, look, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. But the 7 years of plenty will come to an end. And then there'll be 7 years of famine. Make sure that in the 7 years of plenty, you gather all into your storehouse, so that you'll have for the year of famine, the years of famine. And you know, Jesus is the same. Listen to him in Matthew 24, 38 and 39. As in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came. Isn't that a sad picture? They did not know until the flood came. And what was Noah doing for 120 years? The New Testament tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. They were being preached to for 120 years, but they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's Jesus. And he's saying the same tonight.
He's saying, listen, there's a day coming and you must have the one thing needful. Come to me. I'll give you the one thing needful. Just as Joseph did it, so Christ is doing it today. Don't be like the people before the flood. Noah was the only preacher, but he preached, but it seemed to have made no difference until the flood came. And then they knew, but it was too late. Second way Joseph illustrates Christ is that Joseph sat on Pharaoh's throne, and Joseph was given the right to rule and reign. And do you know who's on the throne at the moment? The throne of God. I always got kind of confused with this. Is it God the Father? Or is it God the Son? Right at this moment is God the Son. It's Jesus Christ. And you say, how do you come to that conclusion? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen. Verses 24 and 25. It's talking about the resurrection. It's talking about the last times. It's talking, if you like, about the next world, if you like. Then comes the end. When he, that is Jesus Christ, delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When Jesus Christ puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. For he, Jesus Christ, must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. And then he delivers things back to the Father. At the moment, Christ is on the throne. The one who was dying in Calvary was on the throne. He is there tonight on the throne. And he's saying to you and me tonight, come to me now. Don't put it off until I'm the judge on the throne, when it will be too late. Come to me now. While there's time. While you're fit and healthy and well. Yes, and when you're young. Come to Christ now, when you're young. Because the Bible tells us it's easier when you're younger. You might say, oh, it'll be far easier when I'm older and I can't go dancing and jigging and drinking. And listen, you'll be so set in your ways when you're older. Come now. Come when you're young. Difficult and all as it is when you're young, it's easier than when you're older to come when you're young. But remember this, he is sitting on the throne tonight. And will be until the end, when he presents the kingdom to his Father. And it'll be too late to get in the kingdom then. But it's not too late to get in the kingdom tonight. Third way. Even, you notice in verse 57, the last verse. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain. Even the opposing nations and his enemies came to the throne to bow down. Now we all know these words. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's true. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The only question is this. Will it be in judgment on the last great day? Or will it be in mercy just now on earth before you die? That's the question. But he sits on the throne. And eventually all nations will be gathered before him. Illustration number 4. Do you notice? Even Pharaoh had to use Joseph to supply blessings. Verse 55. So, when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do." What an illustration of the gospel. When you cry to God for mercy, do you know what God says? He says, "Go to Jesus. He's the Savior. He had a human body like you. He walked upon this earth like you. He understands you like nobody on earth understands you. Go to Jesus." That's what God the Father says. That's the gospel. Go to Jesus. And whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever it is, do it. You see, what is God saying to me tonight? God's saying to you, go to Jesus. And whatever he says to you, do it. That's real. That's true. And I tell you this, that's the real world. I suppose we could say that in illustration as well. Every word that Joseph prophesied came through. It came through. And so every word that Jesus Christ says comes true too. Both the bad and the good. He had good news for the butler and bad news for the baker. But both were true. He has good news for you if you love Jesus. He has bad news for you if you don't love Jesus. And whichever you're in, they're both true. Well, our time is up really. But surely the lessons we learn is this. God's word comes through eventually, as we see Joseph getting the ring and the chain and the robe. God's word, God's promise comes through eventually, however unlikely it may appear from time to time. And as our time is up, we'll just close with this. Listen. God knows what he's doing. Even when he puts Joseph in prison, he knows what he's doing. And you know, it's the same today. He knows what he's doing. Maybe you're in a prison today. And you wonder why God has allowed it. Just listen. God knows what he's doing. God's got his purpose. God's got his reason. And God is good. And God's in total control. And God can hear your cry. And God can hear your prayer. And God can deliver you out of your pit. God can deliver you out of your prison. God can change you. God can make you a new person and give you a new life like he gave it to Joseph. And you wouldn't have believed it a few days before as he was biting his nail in that dungeon of a prison. The butler forgotten him. You'd say it couldn't happen, or couldn't it? God's ways are far ahead of our ways, and God's ways are better. God knows what he's doing, and God can be trusted. And you listen tonight to God when he says to you, go to Jesus, and whatever he says to you, do it. Let's pray.